Well, hello, you're listening to The Poetry Show on KUSP. My name is Dennis Morton, and we have a full house in the studio this evening. And to introduce you to everybody, basically, who's here for this edition of The Poetry Show, I'm going to turn it over to Joan Zimmerman. Joan, welcome back to The Poetry Show.
Thank you, Dennis. It's a delight to be back at KUSP.
How long has it been?
How long has it been? Years.
Years, yeah, that's good enough. I saw someone with children today. I asked how old the kids were. I thought they were 7 or 8, but they were 25. So, yeah,
that's
I know what you mean.
That's the way time goes.
Well, Joan, what are we here for tonight?
We're here to talk about haiku, and in particular to celebrate the publication of an absolutely marvelous anthology called Wild Violets.
Wild Violets?
Wild Violets, as opposed to the tame kind that you get in your garden. So these are the ones that you find out in the woods, out when you do explorations. And our organization is the YT Haiku Society, and the people that are here that I'm about to introduce you to are people that have made the society be what it is and brought us to the point where we can produce the kind of beautiful anthology that we've produced this year.
How many of you are there? Is everyone in the studio, or are there more of you than
there are more of us? So there are 6 of us in the studio, and 3 of us are from Santa Cruz and Aptos, and then 3 of us are from the San Jose area. But we have people throughout California that are members. We have people throughout the United States that are members.
Holy
we have members
cow.
From Alaska. We have members from Japan, New
Zealand,
Europe.
Have you got anybody from the moon?
Europe. We haven't got anyone from the moon yet, but our rocket is on its way there with a copy of Wild Violets. So we hope to get
Wild Violets on the moon. That would love to see them.
So should I go ahead and introduce the people here?
Yes,
would you please? So we can hear them. So the first person I want to introduce is Patricia Magmiller. And Patricia is my mentor as far as haiku are concerned. She's been in at the start of this YT society and is also a widely published poet, an author of The Blush of Winter Moon, which is a beautiful book. She's a brush painter and a printmaker, and works on incorporating haiku into images. So I'll pass the mic to Patricia so she can say hello to people, and we'll hear a lot from her shortly.
Thank you, Joan. It's wonderful to be here with all of you here.
Thanks, so
that
Patricia.
That was quick, Patricia.
Well, we want to make sure that we get everybody introduced, and then we'll come back and hear more from the different people. But Patricia could fill up your whole hour really beautifully. The next person I'll introduce is Carol Steele. And Carol is a past president of YT. I should also mention that Patricia also is a past president of YT. Carol studies Ikebana, and very often to the meetings she brings really beautiful flower arrangements for us, which adds a lot. And she is about to become the editor of our working newsletter, which comes out every 2 months. It's called the Gapo, which means every month, but we like that name.
Gapo 0.5.
Yeah, right. So, Carol, would you like to say hello?
Hello. It's really nice to be here.
Great. And the next person is Roger Abe. And am I saying that right, Roger? Or is it Roger Abe?
Abe.
Roger Abe. Okay. And
Roger, your turn to say hello.
Hello. Happy to be here with my haiku friends.
And Roger's the city park ranger over in San Jose. He's a longtime board member and also a past president of the YT organization. So you've got all the heavy hitters here.
Can I stop you for just a second?
Yeah.
When you say YT, is that the letter Y and the letter T? Or
yes, it's letter Y and the letter T. And it's Yuketeki is the actual name, which is the Japanese words for the organization.
Okay.
And it emphasizes the kind of haiku that we write, which is using the more traditional structure of having, of honoring the 575 form, and of using season words, season phrases in the haiku. So our organization, of all the organizations in the U.S., maybe even in the whole of the Western countries outside of Japan, is the closest
the
in paying attention, the most faithful to the Japanese form. Yeah, uh-huh. You got it.
Well, out of massive ignorance, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about that eventually.
That's great. And I think in terms of the questions, a lot's going to come up as we go through the material. But yeah, questions are great.
Now we've got two more people over there on your left, don't we?
We do. One thing I wanted to add about Roger, I'm not sure if I said that he's a ginkgo expert. And by ginkgo, we don't mean the trees, although he probably is an expert in ginkgo trees. But ginkgo is also a special term that the Japanese use for practice of walking, going for a walk, and writing haiku in the process, and then coming back and sharing what you've written with other people that went on a similar walk. So he'll talk more about that. Okay. The next person I'm pleased to introduce is Judith Schalberger. And Judith is the mastermind behind this anthology. We would not have this anthology were it not for Judith. Last year, she did an incredible job of creating the appearance the art presentation on our anthology last year. And when I looked at it last year, I thought, I want to work with this woman. We have to do an anthology this year. And Judith brought even greater skills to the work this year. So I'm very grateful to Judith for that. In a past life, she was a ceramicist. So like many of the people here, she's got other skills besides haiku. But she's also a super haiku poet. Hi, Judith.
Hello. It's great to be here with all the part of the gang, anyway.
Part of all of the gang.
Large team, so.
And then I'm the last and certainly not least is the president of YT, which is Allison Wolpert. Hi, Allison.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here tonight.
And Allison is a retired Santa Cruz City Schools teacher, and she also coordinated our 2011 Youth Haiku Contest, which we held in conjunction with the Japanese Cultural Festival, which was a super, super local event.
Ooh.
So we'll talk more about that. I think you might have had some... Did you have some kids from one of your programs enter that contest?
I don't think so, but okay. I would like to know about that.
Next time that we do it, we'll make
sure. And
Joan,
what we should say is that you and I are talking sort of cryptically here. I work with children in alternative education, leading poetry workshops. So.
Right. So I'm going to hand the discussion over to Allison, who's going to introduce the anthology, and then we'll have some readings from the book.
I do want to start before we get to the anthology. We may have some of our young haiku poets out there listening, and I don't know what time they need to go to bed, but from the Japan Cultural Fair, we had some winners. And what had happened this year, it was our first year, we had ran a youth contest, and we ran adult contest at the Japan Cultural Fair. But we had a seated contest beforehand, and all third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers in Santa Cruz City Schools received a packet with instructions if they were interested in introducing haiku to their classroom. These would be some pointers and tips. And the children were given certain words that they could use, and then they would send in their contest entries. And so that seeded the first contest, and we had some local winners. And the students, I just would like to share some of the student haiku right before we get to the anthology. We had a 2/3 place winners. One is Lilius Arvanitis, and her poem is, "The kingfisher swoops down. Its wing rips through the water."
Hmm.
And another 3rd place winner was Ali Bear. "First sunrise. In the redwood garden, filled with wild sounds." Hmm. second place winner was Giselle Beld. Summer Beach Sun. A Woman's Earring Dangles, A Reflection. And the first place winner, Taryn Rexroad. Soap Bubbles Pop in Front of My Eyes. Such Quick Lives. Mm. So congratulations to all those winners. And we hope to bring it back another year. Probably not next year, but we will be back at the Japan Cultural Fair and be running contests all day.
How many children entered the contest?
Oh.
Was it 50?
I would say 50 at least, yes. And
some of them entered several times.
At the fair, people were writing. We had a How to Write Haiku booth. Uh-huh. So. Well, let's get on with our reading here of some weird of our anthology, Wild Violets. And I wanted to tell you that this anthology is very special. Joan Zimmerman was our editor and the main editor.
With Jerry Ball.
Yes, with Jerry Ball, but the main editor. And it was really her energy that created this anthology that's... it's just very substantial. It's a 64-page volume, and it includes mostly haiku, but it has a section on haibun. And for those poets that like to write prose, a haibun is a short prose that ends with a haiku, or it might have the haiku interspersed throughout the prose. There are also essays in this. There's like 9 terrific essays.
Allison, I don't know when the appropriate time for me to ask you to define what a haiku is.
We were thinking of just letting the people get a
sense of hearing them,
all right. And then Patricia will...
Fair enough.
We'll do that, and at that point, maybe ask her questions.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why don't we go ahead with some reading, and then I can come back and tell them other wonderful... things that are in the anthology.
That sounds great. So
I think
Judith is the first up.
The way he smiles, the way she laughs, my greedy monarchs. The way he smiles, the way she laughs, my greedy monarchs. Roger Abey. Winter stone, the shape, the weight of his faithfulness. Winter stone, the shape, the weight of his faithfulness. Mimi Ahern. Abandoned rope swing at the edge of the lake. End of summer. Abandoned rope swing at the edge of the lake. End of summer. Betty Arnold.
In front of the line, he seems to be the head duck in charge of pure water. In front of a line, he seems to be the head duck in charge of pure water, Jerry Ball. Woodpecker making his point over and over again. Woodpecker making his point over and over again. Marcia Behar. Snapping off frozen sheets from the line, broken winter dreams. Snapping off frozen sheets from the line, broken winter dreams. Anne Ben Dixon.
Year's end, only covers left on this memo pad. Year's end, only covers left on this memo pad, Barbara Campitelli. Sailboat turns black in the glare of autumn sunlight. The dark times begin. Sailboat turns black in the glare of autumn sunlight. The dark times begin. Eleanor Carolyn. What do I let go to become my Dharma name? Waxing summer moon. What do I let go to become my Dharma name? Waxing summer moon. Donna Lynn Chase.
As he did for me, I pull his socks loose from toes. Dad's deepest winter. As he did for me, I pull his socks loose from toes. Dad's deepest winter. Carolyn Fitz. 10,000 steps in the presence of birds, the quiet ride home. 10,000 steps in the presence of birds, the quiet ride home. Patrick Gallagher. Quiet dawn, a mourning dove greets the first pear blossoms. Quiet dawn, a mourning dove greets the first pear blossoms. Kate Godsey.
Stolen from trees, wind rustles leaves. Stolen from trees, wind rustles leaves. Kevin Goldstein Jackson. Porch sitting, the sweet smell of new mown hay. Porch sitting, the sweet smell of new mown hay. Joan Iverson Goswell. Fragrance lingers in gathering mists, my old diary. Fragrance lingers in gathering mists, my old diary. Ed Grossmith.
After you, a deer waits until I pass. After you, a deer waits until I pass. Jean Hale. Autumn morning. What happened to the man who walked daily? Autumn morning. What happened to the man who walked daily? John J. Hahn. How quietly fall today's snowflakes on yesterday's snow. How quietly fall today's snowflakes on yesterday's snow. Yvonne Hardenbrook.
So thanks to Judith and Roger for reading haiku from the book. As you could hear, we're reading one haiku by each of the poets. We have 57 different poets in the book, and because the poems are so small, we're hoping that we can share the voices of each of them during the course of the hour. And I'd like to turn the mic over to Patricia now, who's going to answer Dennis's question. What the heck is a haiku?
Yeah, what the heck is a haiku?
Yes, thank you, Joan and Dennis. Well, haiku is a simple poetry form. Some say it's deceptively simple. As many of your listeners know, it comes to us from the Japanese, and it follows the tradition. The way it's rendered in English is in three lines of 17 syllables, five in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the last line. Now, today, many English language writers are a little loose with the syllable count, and they prefer to think of the form as being in three lines, starting with a short line, and then the middle line being longer, and then closing with another short line. Haiku has been called a nature poem because it usually has the seasonal focus, and in most haiku, you have an indication of the time of the year. In this way, the haiku image takes on the flavor of the day or the weather. It might be warm, or maybe it's raining, or the leaves are turning, or as you heard in some of the poems just read, maybe the snow has fallen or is falling. This seasonal aspect gives the haiku image context and depth. In addition, the subject matter of a haiku is generally speaking about small things or ordinary happenings in one's daily life. The fascinating thing about haiku writing is that it becomes more than just a literary endeavor for most writers. in the process of writing, the writer comes to appreciate and acquire a desire for the simple, for the unadorned things, maybe a pared-down aspect, not just in language, but they begin to look for this in their life. And so haiku becomes more almost a philosophy, and that in turn affects the way a person chooses to live. There is really such a thing as a haiku life. And many of the people in this room are devotees of that life.
And Raju, would you like to say something about the ginkgo style of writing?
Well, what is a ginkgo? It's a walk through a natural area with a focus on what is there and what is happening, and that includes internally in the poet as well. And that is the inspiration for writing haiku. Sometimes we'll have participants just allowed to go on their own and seek out their own explorations while afield. And maybe we'll start them off with a brief introduction of things that they could be looking for. And other times we might explore more as a group, particularly if we have an expert who has something to say about things out there, or if we have a guide to add commentary or sharing. Sharing observations among ourselves is always good too. And sometimes when I do it, I'll create a guided tour to interweave a complementary theme with what's going on out there. I've been leading a reading at the Japanese Friendship Garden in San Jose since 1992, every year in the springtime. And we don't always do a ginkgo, but when I do, I've tried to add some variety by interweaving things like philosophy, color interpretation, folklore, Zen stories, and Japanese garden design, and whatever I can think of that would make a good fit.
Great. Thank you, Roger. And I must say, one of the best things for me about ginkgo is watching Roger and seeing whatever he's looking at, because I can bet that he's looking at something I hadn't noticed before. So I really learn a lot, not just from what he tells me, but from what he
Now,
what
did
he
you
does.
Say that Roger is a park ranger?
Roger is a park ranger.
So he has an edge on you.
Yeah.
On all of us.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the haiku for a second, and I think it was... maybe it wasn't Roger, but one of you read a haiku, a very, very moving and touching haiku about role reversal, someone removing the socks of the father. And, you know, now, to me, that was, well, I actually had a little tear after listening to that one. And it seems to violate the, you know, a few of the precepts. It doesn't seem to be about nature. It is about a human nature. But is it, obviously it is possible to break the rules a bit.
Yes, we're big believers of breaking rules. There's the use of the word winter in the haiku.
Oh, I didn't, right? I didn't
so,
catch that.
Right. But it's used as a metaphor because it's saying dad's deepest winter.
Winter, okay, yes.
And so maybe it means that it's the deepest winter that this man is experiencing in the physical world. Like he's moving towards the next life.
Yes.
And this is his last winter.
That was clearly the way also, I read it, or
right,
heard it, I mean.
Right, but it also means emotionally, perhaps. That he is experiencing. It can be read that way.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't even remember the word winter in it because the act of the the child now
it's so it's
father.
So powerful, so powerful,
very very right. very moving. Yeah.
In relation to what Patricia was saying about the season word, if you changed Dad's deepest winter to Dad's deepest spring, it's nowhere. It doesn't communicate what the rest of the poem communicates. So that choice of the season word really reinforces the emotion that the poet was feeling and communicates to you.
It was mostly my bad memory, but it was also the power of that act that that I recalled.
Right. Do you want to add anything to that, Patricia?
Well, I was just going to point out that poem was written by one of the local poets, our very own Carolyn Fitz from Ben Lomond. Isn't it Ben Lomond?
Yes.
She's from Ben Lomond.
So, hi, Carolyn.
Scott's Valley.
Yeah,
that
was
Scott's Valley.
Scott's Valley.
Okay.
Wonderful poem. Well, we're about 25 after the hour. We've only got about 4 or 5 minutes before we take a...
Maybe we could do another round of reading.
Well, sure, let's
the poems.
Do that.
So our next readers will be Patricia will start, and then Carol will interleave with Patricia.
All right.
And if you need to interrupt the reading for your timing things, but it'll be about five or six
yeah.
minutes.
Okay. We break the rules here on the poetry show, too. So.
Wow.
We can go a little past halftime.
Fall back. He looks at his watch to see if he's hungry. Fall back. He looks at his watch to see if he's hungry.
Now, that's a funny poem.
It is, isn't it? That's by Margaret Heyman Smith. She's from Southern California. Above the breakers, a long line of pelicans flying north. Above the breakers, a long line of pelicans flying north. Peggy Heinrich, from here in Santa Cruz, right? Rising moon. Suddenly the candle flame stretches upward. Rising moon. Suddenly the candle flame stretches upward. Christopher Harold.
April 1st, thinking that things will get better. April 1st, thinking that things will get better. Ruth Holzer. Pride of place, almost blocking the front door. Pink camellias. Pride of place, almost blocking the front door. Pink camellias. Anne Homan. Winter storm. Dead branches whip the old barn. Time for warmer socks. Winter storm. Dead branches whip the old barn. Time for warmer socks. Tony Homan.
Overgrown grass. A garter snake out of its skin. Eleanor Pill Huguet. Overgrown grass. A garter snake out of its skin. Ice crystals, the pure longing in the coyote's howl. Ice crystals, the pure longing in the coyote's howl. Junehopper Hymas. Long night. Unwinding cord on the armature. My daughter calls. Long night. Unwinding cord on the armature. My daughter calls. Gloria Jakudin.
His oxygen tube stretches the length of the house. Winter seclusion. His oxygen tube stretches the length of the house. Winter seclusion. Debbie Kolodzi. The old lady keeps money in her bosom. Spring yard sale. The old lady keeps money in her bosom. Spring yard sale. Bajo Levick. ground fog. Three crows steal a seed from Macbeth. Ground fog. Three crows steal a seed from Macbeth. Michael Henry Lee.
We exchange cough drops and tissues. Valentine's Day. We exchange cough drops and tissues. Valentine's Day. Gregory Longnecker. Cowboy lends his hat to the snowman. Janice Lukestein. Cowboy lends his hat to the snowman. Janice Lukestein. The little child wanting only to be held. Wild violets. The little child wanting only to be held. Wild violets. That's my poem.
And the title of the anthology comes from
that. It's a lovely poem. Autumn loneliness, leaving the seaside cottage scrubbed and glistening. Autumn loneliness, leaving the seaside cottage scrubbed and glistening. Michael McClintock. The dark between dreams, deep winter. The dark between dreams, deep winter. Desiree McMurray. Not quite spring. Sudden hail and the talk of baseball. Not quite spring. Sudden hail and the talk of baseball. Beverly Bowman.
Wow. Terrific. Now, I was wrong about a season not being in that poem earlier that I mentioned. I may be wrong about this, but it seems to... I was doing some syllable counts. And it seems to me there was a lot of variation in the syllable count from poems to poems.
Yes.
How just, that's just, that's okay.
That's okay. That's okay. Whitey has an annual contest where it requires 575. That's one of the rules for being considered for the contest. And it also requires you to have a season word from a very short list of season words. And they were very strict. For the members' anthologies, some members do write strictly in 575 all the time. Uh-huh. Several of them do and are uncomfortable writing otherwise. And other people find it more of a struggle to stay with 575, and for the anthology, we wanted to pick the best poems. So regardless of how closely they hewed to the form, that last poem by Bev Mamoy had, I think, three season words in it instead of just one.
Is that taboo also, or theoretically taboo?
Yes, theoretically taboo. So we recommend a single season word.
So she's going to have to write a couple without any seasons in them.
She does that too, right? Yeah. But Patricia, would you like to add something to this season?
Well, that's why I said that the tendency for English language writers is to think of the lines more as short, long, short, as opposed to a strict syllable count. Mm-hmm. The tradition of 17 syllables, we call them syllables in English, the number of sounds in Japanese are 17, which is not quite the same thing as a syllable is in English. So that's why there is some room in trying to adhere to the form, but trying also to adapt it to how the English language works.
Well, we are going to have to take a short break right now. We're going to listen to some music, but just before we do, while this is fresh in my mind, I'm getting a sense of how much you folks like to do this, how much fun you have by getting together and writing and sharing. Do you actually write together, or do you just share what you've written at various times?
Both.
Both?
Yeah, we write together, or we write separately, like when Roger talked about the Ginkgo. Uh-huh. And we go out and write and then come back in and share. We also have a long leaked form of verse that we sometimes do called a Renku, which is 36 verses. And it follows a certain form, and that's a collaborative effort. Uh-huh. And that's like a big haiku party.
It's a wonderful experience, done as alcohol is involved.
Oh.
But not necessary.
What form is that? What kind of a poem is that? Alcohol?
Alcohol coup.
Alcohol coup. Okay. Well, we are going to listen to some music right now, and then a few announcements, and we will return to Wild Violets. You're listening to The Poetry Show, and we are here together again with, let's see, there are six. Joan, is that right? Six of
there
you?
There are six. We tried to get seven or five, but we got
stuck with an even number.
Make seven.
I'm number seven. That's right.
Dennis, for those of you that don't know him, writes marvelous, very short poems, and the only thing that's stopping him from being a haiku poet is that he doesn't use those season words yet.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, right. So. Joan is lying, folks.
So could we read some more of the
haiku? We can, but I have I've just got an announcement that I need to make about. Number one, for information about what the heck is going on in the world of poetry in the Monterey Bay, go to the Poetry Santa Cruz website. Lynn Anderson maintains a meticulous website, and there are, on the events page, there are more things going on than you could ever catch. And it's a wonderful website, and if you'd like to be aware of what is happening in the Monterey Bay area in the arena of poetry, that's the place to go. And I will tell you just about two events that are coming up in December. The wonderful Lola Haskins will be returning to Santa Cruz. And Lola will be reading for Poetry Santa Cruz on the second Tuesday at Capitola Book Cafe, the second Tuesday of December, 7:30 in the evening. And she will, 2 days before that, on a Sunday, be conducting a workshop. It's a limited number of people who can be at that workshop, and it is at an incredibly reasonable price. Poetry Santa Cruz keeps the price of the workshops very, very low. If you are interested in, it's a six-hour workshop from 10 to 4 in the afternoon. You should get in touch with Lynn Anderson at Poetry Santa Cruz right away. And you can go to the web and get that contact information. Go to Poetry Santa Cruz, and you will be able to check that out. All right, so there, end of announcements. Back to you,
very
Joan.
Very good announcements. And thanks again, Dennis, for all the great work that you guys at Poetry Santa Cruz do. I was just at the Kay Ryan reading this
afternoon.
Oh, wasn't
that a great reading?
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Oh. Now, talk about short, pithy poems.
Yes.
Not haikus, but
right.
Kay Ryan is
absolutely marvelous.
Mistress. Not master. What would she be?
She's the mistress. The empress.
Empress, yes.
Empress
she
of
is,
the short form.
She's the greatest.
Plus, another thing that Kay Ryan said, which is very relevant to haiku poets, is Kay Ryan likes to read a poem twice.
Yes.
Just as we've been doing
for
the haiku. And one of the theories or one of the ideas for the haiku is the first time you hear it, you kind of hear the parts, and it's not until you've heard those parts that you can put it all together, which is what happens the second time you read it. So that's why we read twice.
And a good friend of mine asks me all the time to have the poets read their poems twice when they're appearing on the Poetry Show.
Yeah, great.
So
we're glad to do it.
We're starting something here. All right, well, take it away, Joan.
So we're going to continue with the last third of the poets in the book. So there's a total of 57 poets in the book. Our membership is about 100 poets. poets worldwide. And so about 57 of them sent poems in that we're able to include. And so our readers for this section is Allison is going to be reading, and then Judith is going to be reading again. So we'll start with Allison.
Thanksgiving Day. Each car on my street going somewhere else. Thanksgiving Day. Each car on my street going somewhere else. Naya. Cats love interrupted automatic sprinklers. Cats love interrupted automatic sprinklers. That's Jeannie Nakano. Hazy afternoon. The smog check mechanic puffing a cigar. Hazy afternoon. The smog check mechanic puffing a cigar. Bill Peckham.
Gibeous moon. Murmur of voices in the gazebo. Gibeous moon. Murmur of voices in the gazebo. Patricia Prime. The neighbor boy shooting baskets, starry night. The neighbor boy shooting baskets, starry night. Michael Root Bernstein. Back from the hospital, we go out to view the night of stars. Back from the hospital, we go out to view the night of stars. Richard St. Clair.
My father's work boots wait side by side near his chair. Thule fog years. My father's work boots wait side by side near his chair. Thule fog years. Judith Schalberger. Nesting season. The fox's tongue yellow with yolk. Nesting season. The fox's tongue yellow with yolk. Michael Sheffield. The waves come in waves, first furious and then calm. Spray coats my glasses. The waves come in waves, first furious and then calm. Spray coats my glasses. David Schuritz.
Cedars in the wind, the tops comb through, if only that sound. Cedars in the wind, the tops comb through, if only that sound. Suzanne Smith. Her diagnosis, much worse than we expected. Scorching, scorching heat. Her diagnosis, much worse than we expected. Scorching, scorching heat. Carol Steele. Morning rush. A sparrow pecks at the snowman's eye. Morning rush. A sparrow pecks at the snowman's eye. Ebba Story.
I pity myself more after my skewed story. Winter rain. I pity myself more after my skewed story. Winter rain. Zinovie Veyman. Laundry day. Spring comes in on the sheets. Laundry day. Spring comes in on the sheets. Joan Ward. Downpour tonight. Barefoot in the dark kitchen, I step on a slug. Downpour tonight. Barefoot in the dark kitchen, I step on a slug. Elaine Whitman.
Warblers arriving late, my GPS on the blink. Warblers arriving late, my GPS on the blink. Neil Whitman. All Hallows' Eve. Cloud shadows blacken the glacier. All Hallows' Eve. Cloud shadows blacken the glacier. Billy Smith. Spring winds, the raven's sideways steps to the fish bones. Spring winds, the raven's sideways steps to the fish bones. Allison Wolpert.
First autumn rain, dusting the dream catcher for a house guest. First autumn rain, dusting the dream catcher for a house guest. Wendy Wright. In this town, I am a complete stranger. Autumn twilight. In this town, I am a complete stranger. Autumn twilight. Teruyo Yamagata. Whiz of a snowball. Suddenly, every child looks angelic. Whiz of a snowball. Suddenly, every child looks angelic. Joan Zimmerman.
So, our listeners have now heard the haiku by every single member that sent in the haiku for the anthology.
Wow.
And we're really pleased to have been able to put this anthology together. So the anthology, as Allison mentioned at the start, contains not just haiku, two haiku by each person, so we only read half of the haiku that are in the book, but also the haibun, and also a marvelous set of essays that cover the different aspects of haiku creation, starting with the season words, continuing with the use of the Saijiki, which is a dictionary, the use of an actual dictionary of season word terms, continuing with the ginkgo, the idea of an urban ginkgo, that you don't have to be out in nature to do one of these works and write haiku. You can do them in the big bad city just as well or differently than being out in the country and so on. So, if listeners would like to order a copy, they can go to www.youngleaves.org. Did I get that right?
Young Leaves?
Young Leaves, with no spaces in it, so just written as all one word. Young Leaves.
www.youngleaves.org.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that has all the information about the Haiku Society and how to order their publications.
I am struck by how organized you all are.
We're very organized.
Yes, you are.
Well, I would say that it's mostly Joan Zimmerman that has organized the rest of us.
This kind of defies the image of the
poets.
Right.
Well, we knew that we wanted to pay our respects to so many different poets, starting with the young poets that Allison had mentioned, and then continuing with all these members. And knowing your love of asking questions, I figured the only way we could get through all the poets was if I just did a schedule and made sure that
and
we
made
did
sure
the,
that I didn't talk. Yeah. Right.
So yes, yes. So now Carol is going to talk about the YT Haiku Society.
Okay. Lay it on us.
I think we've covered a lot of it earlier, but there are a couple of things I'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about so far. And one is that Roger referred to the ginkgo we hold in May, usually each year at the Japanese tea house in San Jose. We also have a reading there each May where we have four featured readers. And so the last few years we've had one from Southern California and then one from the Northern area and try to get poets from different areas to come and read. But that's a really special day, and it begins with an orientation for newcomers, and they're taken out into the garden and taught in a simple way how to write a haiku. So that's something that we really enjoy. Another thing I wanted to mention is each autumn we have a four-day retreat down in Asilomar. And that's been going on for, is it 25 years now?
Well, 1984.
Wow.
Is that
about?
Yeah.
Yeah, for quite a while.
It's 27 years.
27, yes.
And we have a featured speaker each year, and we just immerse ourselves for 4 days in haiku. It's just a wonderful experience. I've gone every year since I first went, and many of our friends come every single year if they can. So I wanted to make sure that the people in the audience knew that that's possible too. So our website at youngleaves.org has a lot of information about the society. It has the events that happened at the last haiku retreat. It has the annual calendar. We meet almost every month, and often in the San Jose area. We have a lovely Christmas party that's open to newcomers also. And we would welcome anyone coming and finding out more. We'd be happy to have them.
That's what I was going to ask. You do accept new interested members.
Absolutely.
We're delighted to have them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm sure that a lot of listeners will be asking, you know, themselves that, well, how can I join this group? So go to the website. That's the easiest way.
Go to the website, yes.
Youngleaves.org.
Yes.
I think also, Dennis, if people want to phone in after the show, some of us will be around for a few minutes afterwards. So
okay.
What's the phone number here?
476-2800.
Okay, folks. So if you want to talk to a haiku poet.
and there's a, let's see, I'm pretty sure that you can reach us if you're outside of the Santa Cruz area. We're broadcasting from Santa Cruz, we should say. But people from great distances can hear us should they go to the web. And I think you can also reach us at 1-888-549-6421, toll-free number. I'm reading that from a sign on the wall, and I'm trusting its accuracy. I will say it again, 1-888-549-6421.
But wait till 10 o'clock.
Yes, but wait until 10 o'clock, please. We've got, what, about 6 minutes, 5.5 minutes here. So how would you like to close this off, Joan?
Well, we'd like for Allison to have a chance to talk a bit more about the haiku in the schools work. Did you have more to add to that?
Not so much.
Okay. That's a no, Joan.
Then it's my turn to talk about the Japanese Cultural Festival. Is that what I'm hearing? Or would you like to talk about the
No,
Japanese?
I think you should talk about it. You were the organizer of that event.
Well, I...
She had it down to the minute, what all of us were supposed to do.
The minutes got mixed up.
Like that happens.
When you're counting each syllable, I think minutes, yeah, they fit.
Yeah. Okay. So as everyone in the Santa Cruz County probably knows, there's a marvelous cultural festival that is held at Mission Park Plaza in front of the Catholic Church in Santa Cruz, and they have all kinds of exhibitions and booths, martial arts and Japanese food and flower arranging and Aikido. So I talked to the organizers last year and said, have you ever had haiku here? And they said, no, what a great idea. So I went and talked to Patricia, and that started us thinking about doing a booth. And then it was like, let's put on a show. Judith lent us a canopy that would define our space. Judith was the first person to give a donation to help support the booth, because it's an entry fee to have the booth there. So we started a fundraising process. And then we decided we would have a haiku for you, kind of poet in the booth session, where we'd have a different poet each hour that could help you learn what haiku was, could help you write your haiku. And with coaching by that poet, or not, you could enter into one of our four haiku contests. So two are for youth and two are for adults. Although, I think for one of the adult contests, which just meant you graduated from high school, a youth entered it and won?
Yes, the youth won. Was he a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old? no one knew that but the organizers.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so we...
wrote beautiful haiku.
Right, and I think like you found, Dennis, with kids, they very often have some mystical connection to poetry, yes, and to expressing themselves.
Yeah.
And we saw people just become totally, kids, especially adults, to become totally immersed in participating in the haiku contest and trying to write. So that was just a great community experience to bring people to haiku.
It's wonderful to have something nice at the end of the process, but just doing it. When they discover the magic of just making a poem.
Yeah, right, right. And because it's so small, it's not intimidating the way that, just write a sonnet can be. Mm. And yet, as I've found, as I've learned more and more from Patricia in particular, that it might start out seeming simple, but it gets harder.
But better that it seems simple at the beginning so it's not intimidating, and then discover the complexity as you go along.
Right.
We've got about 1 minute left. Could we close with a poem? Or have you got something in particular you want to say?
Allison, would you like to say something about the adult? Oh, was that the child's?
No, I found the poem here.
Oh, let's hear it.
Adult haiku contest. So now you're
written
all in on the inside, written by a young gentleman, Jacob Rothweil. Rothweil. Little waterfall, never knowing that someday you will touch the ocean. Little waterfall. Never knowing that someday you will touch the ocean. Talking about haiku being simple, yet lots of people can enter into it. I think we saw that at the festival. So many people remark like, oh, when I was 10 years old in, you know, fourth grade or fifth grade, my teacher, you know, talked about haiku. And so then when they worked with the haiku poet that was in the booth and they learned a little bit more about it. They just sat on the grass in the sunshine and rode and rode and entered and would come back after they had their big ice cream cone and write more. It was just really fun. So
I've got to stop you all now. I want to thank you all for coming. But
can we just say one more thing?
Well, hurry.
Dennis?
Yes.
Patricia has a gift for you.
Oh.
So we're handing Dennis his very own copy of Wild Violets.
Many thank yous.